I'm going to read a little here out of Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. That's God, big G, little g, gods, just so you know. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above... Oh, I just read that. It's good anyway. To him who made the great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. The key to this is, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Thanksgiving, thankfulness, praise is a form of that. So if you would stand with me and I'll pray and we'll have an opportunity to worship the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to come before you and to give you praise, to give you thanksgiving, to give you thankfulness from our hearts and gratefulness. Lord, I pray today, God, that we would discover the power of thanksgiving. Lord, the power, Lord, that is released, Lord, in our bodies and in our spirits and in our beings, God, from worshiping you. Lord, I pray right now, God, that we would enter into your presence today. Lord, you're here right now, Lord, but I pray that we would experience your presence. Lord, in such a way, Lord, where there's trouble in our hearts, Lord, that you would bring peace. Lord, where there's a fear of the unknown, Lord, that you would just bring a confidence, Lord, for tomorrow. Lord, I just release right now, Lord, your whole heavenly resources into this place, Lord, as we're gathered in your presence, to touch our lives, to change us, to be more like you. We just bless you, Lord. We bless the name of Jesus. We bless the Father and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that you're working in our lives, Lord, for your good pleasure. And we will now praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, today's a day of Thanksgiving. It's in 2 weeks, but when we come and we praise and we worship, it's an attitude of gratitude. It's Thanksgiving. And so we're going to be... celebrating Thanksgiving today by taking the communion table. And a lot of people, you know, have their different ideas, perspective of the communion table. And so today I kind of mixed it up with the communion table. These are the gluten-free if you're gluten intolerant. There may be only a couple of us in here that are. But this is a sugar cookie. So when you bite it, and I actually have vanilla wafers for the gluten folks, when you bite it, you're going to wonder, like, well, why isn't this a dry oyster cracker? Because I want us to get the revelation that what Jesus did, yes, even though it was devastating and tragic to him, to on the other side, we receive something sweet and beautiful. That's his life. Instead of an old dry, crusty cracker, he gives us the best. So I thought it'd be good as we take and we participate with the element that represents his body, that we remember that even though he was broken in a way that we could receive abundant life, that we could receive his riches for our poorness, that we could receive his health for our sickness and disease. See, he gives us the better deal. And all we have to do is just give him our allegiance and love. which really should be pretty easy to do, because he only has his very best in store for us. His very best is his thoughts towards us. So if you would gather up here with me, we're going to go ahead and take family communion. If you're visiting your guests, we just grab the elements, which today again is a cookie for the bread. Spill grape juice on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, normally I have a whole bunch say about, you know, communion. But today, since this is about a thankful heart, why don't we all just take a moment and thank the Lord either out loud or in our hearts. Let him know how grateful and appreciative we are for him dying for us, taking our place, and giving us this abundant life in replace, in exchange for his death. We receive his life. So let's just be quiet for a moment and we can thank the Lord. Lord, we stand here grateful and thankful people. Thank you, Lord, that your body was broken, beaten, shattered, and just devastated, Lord, for us. Thank you, Lord, it was for us. And Lord, as we remember now that work of the cross, I pray that the power of the cross would come alive in us. The power of your resurrected life, Lord. The power, Lord, of your sacrifice, God. The work, the full work of the cross would come alive in us today. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and a lot more to have to get through. Yeah. Lord, we just thank you for your shed blood, Lord. Your blood, Lord, that represents, Lord, purification and cleansing, Lord, but also eternal life. So, Lord, we just thank you that you were an offering, and broken and spilled out, Lord, so that we could have wholeness and restoration and health. And Lord, today we thank you in our hearts, Lord. We thank you with a grateful heart, Lord, for your sacrifice. Go ahead. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, before we have the children go down, I just want to mention that next Sunday at 3 o'clock, the Villalobos family and Elena has had this inspiration to be a blessing to those who need a blessing. And that's going to be feeding some hungry folks. So there's some issues that we have to deal with. So if you would like to offer some food or join, where's it going to be at?
Miller Park,
3 p.m. next Sunday. And if you'd like to offer some food or something like that, you can get hold of Tara. Go ahead and stand, Tara. Yeah, whoop, whoop. And if you're not able to make it and you want to help that way, or you could probably just hand them some money so that they can get lots of food for folks. So, amen. Well, would the children come on up? Do you want to go downstairs? No. Oh, do you want to stay up? No, you don't, huh? It's going to be good. It's going to be really good. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving, turkey, dressing, all that good stuff. No, it's not about that kind of Thanksgiving. Okay. We have like Sunday school downstairs. If you want to go, you don't have to. But if you want to join them, you can. Okay, let's pray for Adam. He's the one that's going to get the full meal deal today. Lord, we pray for Adam. Lord, we pray that you just be with him. Help him, Lord, to receive. Lord, he's gonna get the double dose today. And he's going to get the focus, so we pray that you would just allow him to continue to become who you've called him to be, in Jesus' name. And Adam, you look sharp. My goodness. Outdressing everybody. Even Moses. He outdressed you, Moses. Was that his idea? Oh my goodness. Well, he could. I mean, yeah, we're going to be up.
Thanks, honey.
You bet. So we're taking a break, probably a couple week break, 3 week break maybe, from the from, through, and to message. And we've already covered the from the midst of and through. But today we're going to go another route. And I was listening to a message, and they reminded me of this scripture. And I pondered on a little bit and thought, oh, yeah, that's really good. And then I thought, you know what, that would be a good message. I didn't know what it was going to be exactly titled, but the power of Thanksgiving is what we're going to talk about. I was thinking of putting like a turkey and then a big stomach of a guy who's, you know, just after he's eaten. Not that kind of Thanksgiving. But all of us have probably experienced the power of that Thanksgiving as well, right? Ready to go to sleep and have a good night's rest at 3 in the afternoon. Exactly. But we're going to talk about the principle of Thanksgiving today. Now, I want you to forgive me ahead of time. I only have one scripture, but I have almost 30 slides. So I'm going to be filling it in with information that tells you why being thankful is so important. And hopefully I'll do it justice, because it's one of those topics that I think can be greatly overlooked. And I think it hopefully should encourage all of us to really become thankful people, grateful people. So, as I like to do, let's just take a look at what the actual definition of Thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving is rendering thanks for good received. It's the act of rendering thanks or expressing gratitude for favors or mercies. And these thanksgivings can be to an individual, could be to a group of people, or it can be to God.
This word Thanksgiving in the Greek is the Greek word Eucharistia. And it's interesting because if you have any kind of a Catholic background, the communion that they take is called the Eucharist. And so it's very interesting that their word for communion means thankfulness, thanksgiving, which I think is a really neat expression. So in the Greek, it means gratitude, which is kind of the word we're going to use today. Gratitude is kind of the feeling that you have in your heart. Thanksgiving is the expression that you work out of that feeling. It's actually a grateful language. So, I really appreciate you, Lord, would be thanksgiving. You know, it doesn't have to be thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That can get kind of monotonous, although he can receive that if that's all you can, I guess, let out. So, it says, actually a grateful language to God as an act of worship, thankfulness, giving of thanks, and thanksgiving. The Help Word Studies has some insight into this. It's thankful for God's grace. Now, it's interesting because there's two Greek words connected with this, and one means good and the other one means grace. So really, thanksgiving is remembering good grace of God or God's grace. So the giving of thanks for God's grace. I think that's great. That's amazing. It kind of really gives an expression. Go ahead.
So when you were saying if all you have to give is just say thank you, thank you, thank you, reminded me of something that happened when I was in college. I went to college. Yes, I did. May not act like it all the time, but I did. And I had some friends that were engaged to be married, and they told me a story about when they first got together, how they would pray, and he would pray, and she would just say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And it used to bug him to no end that that's all she would say. And she said, that's just my way of agreeing with everything that you're saying. And he says, yeah, but you need more words than that. Sometimes there aren't any more words than that. Sometimes. Sometimes, thank you, Lord, is all you can get out. Do you know what I mean? But if it is all you can get out, mean it with all your heart.
Exactly. Yeah. Hopefully we'll give you some ideas of what to be thankful for if you can't think of any. So here's a little sign. Grateful, thankful, blessed. That those are attitudes that can come from a spirit of thanksgiving. That you're blessed, that you're grateful, that you're thankful. So here's the scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Why don't you read that with me? We don't do this very often, but let's hear our own voices saying it. So, 1, 2, 3. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I heard Gay and myself. Did anybody else say it? Two people, maybe? Maybe it's just that the sound system's so loud. That's it. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I saw your heads kind of bobbing up and down, so maybe that's what it was. In everything give thanks. Now, we've talked about all things and everything before. What is everything? In everything. Does that mean the good? Right? Does that mean the bad? See, it's harder to give thanks in the bad. But hopefully we'll discover that it's in the giving of thanks that helps the bad be diffused. It helps what's going on in your life that may look like it's insurmountable and impassable to a place where you can be content even in that situation. Maybe not even go through it or go over it. You're still in the situation, but you're okay because of thanksgiving. So look at it, says this. It says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I always thought thanksgiving was about God, just about him. That he deserved thanksgiving, he deserved thankfulness, he deserved me to be grateful, and that he wanted me to do that because, you know what, I'm worthy of it, I want you to lay it on me. Like that, that's kind of the way I looked at it. Anybody else look at it that way? You come and you're worshiping, And you're thinking, wow, he deserves the worship, and if I don't worship, I'm pond scum, so I need to, you know, give him my all, you know, just my own thoughts. And so I didn't really realize that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, for me. That God knows that us being praise people, that us being thankful people, us being grateful people is good for us. Mm-hmm. That it's the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. Mm-hmm. That it is good for us. The actual Greek word that's being used for in is the word which means to go into or towards. It's the will of God towards us. It's what God desires for us. Not so that he can just be praised and exalted, but so that we can receive the benefits of a thankful and grateful heart. Does that make sense?
It does. I remember teaching a Bible study actually on this one scripture, and I've had so many people ask me, well, what's the will of God for my life? What's the will of God for my life? Well, the will of God for your life is that you give thanks in everything in Christ Jesus. Everything else will come after that.
Exactly. I have some pretty good quotes that are kind of like little gotchas here that we'll get into. Okay, so let's look at some things that this gratitude does for us. So if it is something that is the will of God for us, why does he desire it so much? Well, here's one. Gratitude opens the doors to more relationships. Not only does saying thank you constitute good manners, but showing appreciation can help you win new friends. According to a 2014 study published in Emotion, the study found that thanking a new acquaintance makes them more likely to seek an ongoing relationship. That would mean like thanking a coworker for helping you with a project. Or maybe you go to lunch with someone and you send them a text. And not just, you know, hey, thank you for lunch, but you send them a text. Hey, I just had a great time with you. Thank you for... And the thing is, I mean, don't make it insincere. It's got to be real. So you have to find a reason to be thankful. And part of the reason to be thankful is just the fact that you have an opportunity to have a relationship with somebody that maybe you didn't have a relationship before.
Right.
So you have to treasure relationships, I believe, to be thankful for them. So that's one. Gratitude opens the door for more relationships. How about this one? This is one we could all use. Gratitude improves physical health. So if you're having health issues, listen to this. Grateful people experience fewer aches and pains, and they report feeling healthier than other people. According to a 2012 study, these are all studies that were done at universities by you know, people that are very, very, you know, legit. This isn't like, you know, your backdoor thing that, you know, some guy posted on YouTube. These are official studies. Study published in Personality Individual Differences. Not surprisingly, grateful people are more likely to take care of their health. So I'll give you some reasons why this happens. So if we go to the next one. In April of 2015, a study of 186 men and women with heart damage, researchers rated the people's levels of gratitude and spiritual well-being. Now, they had heart damage where they literally were diagnosed by the doctor with, what, I guess, what's called like their class A heart condition. Their heart had been damaged possibly from a heart attack, but there was no like disease. It had been damaged. And so they found that higher gratitude scores were linked to having a better mood, higher quality sleep and less inflammation, which can worsen the symptoms of heart failure. So they did this study. They had people basically that were in this study, 186 people. Some wrote down that they were what they were grateful for and had an attitude of gratefulness that they helped inspire. The other group didn't do that. And the group that were the ones that did exhibit gratitude and gratefulness, their hearts got better. The other ones stayed the same. Their heart damage actually was healing. Anybody else think that maybe is some good news?
That's exciting.
How about this? Anybody ever have problems sleeping? Listen to this one. Grateful people sleep better. Writing in a gratitude journal improves sleep. According to a 2011 study published in Applied Psychology, health and well-being, spend just 15 minutes jotting down a few grateful sentiments before bed, and you may sleep better and longer. So what does that mean? That means before you go to bed, be thankful. And I'll give you some ideas of how to be thankful, how to be grateful, how to have a lifestyle of thanksgiving. But no more, sleepies and those kind of things. You can use thanksgiving as a form of a sleep aid. So how about this? Gratitude improves psychological health. Gratitude reduces a multitude of toxic emotions, ranging from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. Robert A. Emmons, PhD, a leading gratitude researcher, has conducted multiple studies on the link between gratitude and well-being. So listen to this. His research confirms that gratitude effectively increases happiness and reduces depression. Why is that? I believe it's because when we're grateful, when we're thankful, we end up seeing things from that perspective. So if you're thankful, what do you see? Something good. If you're grateful, what do you see? Something to be grateful for. And guess what? If you were depressed before, the depression can leave. How many have ever been down in the dumps when they've come to worship God on a Sunday? How many were down in the dumps when they came this morning? Just kidding. But what happens when you give what's called a sacrifice of praise, which means it doesn't matter how you feel, it doesn't matter what the circumstances were coming like to church, you decide to go ahead and worship God because he's worth worship. Mm-hmm. He's worthy of the worship. And you start worshiping. Now, you're feeling bad at first, and maybe you're thinking to yourself, oh, I'm such a hypocrite. I'm like clapping or I'm raising my hands. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like worshiping right now. So I feel like a hypocrite. But then all of a sudden, as you're worshiping, as you're being thankful, as you're being grateful, something happens in your heart. Mm-hmm. An attitude of gratitude literally comes. A heart that is really feeling this actual praise, this actual worship, this actual thanksgiving. And all of a sudden it kind of cascades. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you really feel like worshiping and praising. Mm-hmm. Why did that happen? Because you changed basically the way that you were previously thinking by offering thanksgiving, even though you didn't feel like it.
My favorite scripture is, there's power of life and death in your tongue. Mm-hmm. So if you're speaking life out, thankful for what God's given you, and just like my husband said last week, the kids see mom cooking the food, and then here we sit and we say, thank you, God, for the food. Well, God didn't provide the food. They think kids, mom went in there and made it. But God did provide all of the intelligence behind that food, all of the everything he provided to make that food available to them. But if you're speaking life and you're speaking gratitude out to the Lord, then your whole body is actually hearing it. You're speaking life, but if you speak death, you're going to hear that too. So that's what this is saying, is that it increases happiness and reduces depression, because even though we don't feel like it, we need to be grateful to the Lord and we need to say, thank you, God. I'm going to bring something next week and read it, and it goes along these lines.
Oh, next week?
Yeah. I left it
at
home.
Not this week?
I left it at home, sorry.
Oh,
but
boy, okay.
It's really, really, really good because it actually, oh boy, I wish I had it. Never mind.
Yeah, we're just going to why didn't you bring it? Yeah. So, here's another one. Gratitude increases mental strength. Research has shown gratitude not only reduces stress, but it may also play a major role in overcoming trauma. A 2006 study published in Behavior Research and Therapy found that Vietnam War veterans with higher levels of gratitude experienced lower rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. A 2003 study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology found that the gratitude was a major contributor to resilience following the terrorist attacks of September 11th. Recognizing all you have to be thankful for, even during the worst times of your life, fosters resilience. So if you're having depression, if you're having, anxiety, if you're having even trauma, and thankfulness and an attitude of gratitude fosters a more of a mental strength in you. I would say that it's like a merry heart doing good like a medicine. I would say it's like allowing yourself to go someplace that maybe your mind isn't ready to go to. In other words, being happy and being looking at things from a chipper point of view. But starting to be thankful opens up a door. It's interesting that it says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I'm getting some scriptures that'll be next week. But there's another one that says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is going to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. But see, thanksgiving is a key because it's like a door that we go through into his presence, right, into his point of view. And obviously, thanksgiving is working for the world. Being gratitude works for the world. Why is that? Because it's a spiritual principle. Right? Mm-hmm. What did you say?
I said, you said being gratitude, and I said, no, being grateful.
Being grateful, yeah, there you go. Thanks for getting me on the right path. Sorry. So an attitude of gratitude. I've said that a little bit already. Thank you. Thank you, just simply saying thank you. This morning, I took some time and I just got the guitar and I was just going between just one chord and another chord, and all I was saying was thank you and just telling him thank you. And sometimes I added some words to it, but I was just letting him know that I appreciate him being in my life by just saying thank you. I mean, I remember before I knew him, I can still remember that time. I was not happy. I did not have hope in my life. I really didn't even know what life was about. And when he came into my life, he turned on a light. And I was able to see where once I was blind, I could see. Like the great Amazing Grace says, I was once blind, but now I see. Anybody else realize that? I mean, what a reason to be thankful. Okay. Let's hear some quotes that maybe will challenge us a little bit. This is Charles Spurgeon. He's a great orator and teacher, and he's written quite a few books and just quoted quite a bit, but this is a great quote of his. It is not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness. You say, if I had a little more, I should be very satisfied. Anybody else say that? Just a little bit more, I'd be satisfied. You make a mistake. We all make a mistake when we think that way. If you are not content with what you have, you would not be satisfied if it were doubled. So in other words, if you can't find contentment in your very condition now, and thankfulness in your condition now, if you think, boy, if I just had another $100,000, I'd really be thankful. He's saying, you're not going to be satisfied and grateful if you have that doubled, if you're not content and thankful now. Mm-hmm. I think that's words of wisdom. C.S. Lewis. Anybody heard of C.S. Lewis? Great author. We ought to give thanks for all fortune. If it is good, because it is good. If bad, because it works in us patience, humility, contempt of this world, and the hope of our eternal country. In other words, if we have good from God, we should be thankful because it's good. But if it's bad, because the bad in life can produce things in us that is good. Patience, humility, an appreciation for life to come. Thomas Fuller, gratitude is the least of the virtues, but ingratitude is the worst of vices. Gratitude is the least of virtues. In other words, it's the very bottom of what we should be like. We should have gratitude. We should be thankful. But it's ingratitude. Not having thankfulness is the worst of vices. In other words, it's a bad thing to have ingratitude. Here's one. And I think this is a good one. Thanksgiving is the language of heaven. And we had better start to learn it if we are not to be mere dumb aliens there. In other words, if we don't understand that worship and praise and thankfulness and gratefulness is in heaven and that is the language, then when we get there, we might feel a little awkward at first. You ever thought about that? I mean, we think we're going to go from this place and not be worshipers at all, and then we get in heaven, all of a sudden we become worshipers. I think we have to learn a little bit up there of what worship is all about. But we don't have to wait. We can learn it here. We can be thankful and grateful people here. Okay, here's a statistic. And this is one that I think all of us men in here need to try to break. It says, how grateful are we? 52% of women express gratitude on a regular basis versus only 44% of men. So it sounds like women are much more grateful than men. Hey, it's a statistic. Doesn't have to be your life. You don't have to say, yep, that's me. I'm in the 44 and proud of it. No, we can be individuals that break out of the statistics. Right, Jesse? Amen. Okay, let's get to the practical. Ways to have more gratitude in your life. Would you like to learn a little bit about that? How can we people of gratitude? You're making it sound like it's pretty important. It's going to help our health, help us in relationships, help us psychologically, help us with sleeping better. I mean, all kinds of things. So what are some ways we can increase gratitude? Well, thank God first thing when you wake up in the morning. Thank God for your sleep, for protecting your family, for his mercies that are new every morning, for his steadfast love and faithfulness. Thank him for dying for you. Thank him for your job that you may be going to. Thank him that you have a job. I mean, there's many things that you can start your day off with thankfulness and a grateful heart. And I bet if what we're saying is true, it gives you a good attitude and a good outlook. Maybe your day might be better. Instead of rolling out of bed with your hair all messed up and, you know, and kicking the edge of the corner of the bed and busting your toe and just being all frustrated, just start with a little, before you get out, just lay in bed and just say, Lord, I just thank you for just you being in my life. And just start slower in the morning. You don't have to even say it out loud. Just say it in your heart if you want to. Go ahead.
I was just thinking, just last week at my cell group, I was teaching on I guess you could call it habit, like habitual. Mm-hmm. And there was a lady that if she got up and she noticed her running shoes right beside her bed and she put her running shoes on, she was 50% more likely to go running than and get it over and done with than if she had gone into the kitchen, grabbed her cup of coffee, opened up her email, read her Bible, whatever. It went down in chances of her actually completing her run for the day. But it's the same thing with us with the Lord. And some of us need a reminder. Like some of us wake up and God isn't our first thought. Our first thought is, oh no, what's on my calendar today? Blah, 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 blah. But if our Bible was there, or if our your favorite scripture was in a writing and it was right beside your bed and you turned and looked and saw that, something that will remind you that that needs to be first. That thankful heart with the Lord needs and should be first. Yes, Vicki, come on up. Yep. We have to have it taped. But just because sometimes we just need a reminder. Sometimes over the last year, with my dad's passing, I can't tell you how many times I woke up and I said to myself, my dad's gone. Like, you know, it my heart was remembering. But I want my heart to remember, God loves me. I love him. This is a day today that he gave me that I can rejoice and be glad in and be thankful for all the things he's given me and the things that he hasn't. Because the things that he hasn't given me probably weren't good for me. That's probably why he didn't give them to me.
Okay, so this is two parts. The first thing is, Pastor Mike, you taught on this a few years ago. It's not a teaching, but you said, as soon as you know you're awake, you start thanking the Lord. You know, we all lay there in bed and we just kind of wake up and we're kind of like, and like she said, everything goes through our brains. Well, I started doing that.
Oh.
I started as soon as I realized I'm awake, even if I go back to sleep, but I'm awake, I need to thank God now. And when my husband was deployed, my husband and I have been married 32 years. And when he first joined the military, we'd been married 17 years. And how used do you get to having somebody in the middle of the night next to you, waking up, honey, let's roll over. Honey, I love you. These little things. And when he was deployed, I didn't have that. And I'd still wake up in the night. And that was, and Pastor Gaylene had explained to me, that's the time to start talking to the Lord, because then he's being my husband. And so I started doing that, and that helped me be able to go back to sleep and be restful. But something that I was thanking God for this morning during worship was that we don't think about, we're thinking things that have happened, but what about thinking about what he has for us to come? Because I don't know what job I'm going to have next. I don't know whose home I'm going to go into next. And I'm kind of in a limbo, and I have a case manager who keeps telling me, God knows you needed a break. And I'm like, but I can't afford a break. So let's just pray that I get a client soon. But I have to be thankful of what is to come.
Amen.
What kind of job am I going to have? What am I going to be able to be his witness for and his instrument? Who am I going to be able to do that with? So we don't just thank for past. We thank for future as well, because then that's going to help us to look forward into the future with much more wonder and much more peace, I think.
And expectation.
Yes, an expectation.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good. Thank you. So here's another one. Keep a thankfulness journal. Now, this could be just your normal journal, and you could just have a page for your thanksgivings or your gratefulness or your thankfulness. After your prayer time or Bible reading, take a few minutes to write down in a journal a few things you are thankful for. If you can't think of anything, start with thanks for the weather or a blessing from the day. Use post-it notes and keep them on a bulletin board or on your mirror. Basically, it's being proactive. How many know that most Christians aren't proactive? Unless it's something they're really excited and interested in. But when it comes to engaging with the things of God, we tend to be more passive. We tend to think, well, if I hear the message on Sunday and I go to church and I hear what it's about, it'll somehow get inside of me. Well, it does get inside of you, but it doesn't become activated. The only way things become activated if we do them. So I encourage you, get a post-it little batch, you know, and start writing some things you're thankful for. Tag them on your mirror, on your car dash. Something that will remind you to be thankful. If nothing else, to put "be thankful" on it. Go ahead.
When we've had couples come to us for marriage counseling, that's one of the things I say. Find one thing, and you may not even be able to find one thing, but ask God to help you find one thing about your spouse that you like or you love. And if you have to say that on a daily basis for a year, speak it out loud, because then what happens is, by speaking that life and not speaking that death over your spouse, God will begin to put into you, oh wait, well, thank you for, you know, that you take care of the yard, or thank you, God, that, you know, he's a good provider. I mean, you need to say thank you. And if it's the same thing over and over again, God will start putting things in your heart about that person. And that's what we say in marriage counseling all the time. Find just one thing and say thankful. Say that you're thankful for that. Even if it is thank you for providing for our family. It has nothing to do with whether or not he's a mean man. It just is he's providing. You see what I'm saying? And then God will start making your heart be thankful for more things about your spouse.
Okay, here's another one. Thank you. Thank God for spiritual blessings. Here's some things to say. He's adopted us as his children. He's given us eternal life. He's made us one with Christ. He's delivered us from the dominion of sin. He's made us joint heirs with Christ. He's filled us with his Holy Spirit. Given us eternal hope. Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He's removed our condemnation forever. Just to name a few. His sacrifice gives us life abundance. I mean, there's all kinds of things. But again, you have to purposefully, proactively engage with these things. Speak them out loud like you're saying. Even if it doesn't even say, well, you know, I just don't think it's going to do anything. Try it. Just try it. Try it. Start to say, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Something that simple. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you, Lord, for taking my place. Thank you, Lord, for giving me eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for being my friend. Thank you, Father, for being a daddy to me. Thank you, God, for showing your love by allowing your son to die for me. Just as you start to focus and that turn that attention with a grateful heart and thankfulness, his presence will come. Mm-hmm. Peace will come. That's why I believe it says, be anxious for nothing with thanksgiving. Because then your prayers aren't like, oh, help me, God. They're like, oh, Lord, you've done this before. You'll do it again as you're being thankful. Does that make sense? Good. How about this one? Thank God for material blessings. For your spouse or parents or friends. For your health. For eyesight. For hearing. For touch and taste. You know, there's some people who don't have their five senses. Sight, sound, smell, taste. Some people don't have taste because of surgeries and stuff. And we take these for granted. Hearing. Yet those five senses are five reasons to be thankful. For your house. I mean, there's people who live and have been living in tents in Yakima. And I'm sure it can't always be comfortable or warm or dry, especially with all the rain we've had. Be thankful that you have a bed. Be thankful for a hot shower. Mm-hmm. I mean, I tell you, sometimes I have worship moments just taking a hot shower. So I start thinking about, what if I didn't have this shower? And I start thanking God for it. For electricity. For indoor plumbing. Hello.
Well, those people in the tent city, they go
to the community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, outhouse.
Exactly. For your job, for children and grandchildren if you have them, for your church, for your faith family, for technology, praise the Lord, right? And all medical knowledge and availability of medicines. I mean, for living in this country where we can have free elections. That we don't go to the place to vote and someone's pointing at us with a gun saying, you're going to vote for this person. There's a lot of reasons to be thankful for being in the United States, for what we have. Anybody else say amen? Okay. One more and then Gay has the... I can't say it. I can't pronounce it properly. Thank God for anything, for any hard things you're going through. Thank him that he's causing it to work for your good, to make us like Christ and to humble us, to teach us to trust him, Thank him for minor annoyances like the traffic you're stuck in, Jesse, the paperwork you have to do, and Mike. Traffic can be like such a frustration. But thank him for it. Thank him for being delayed because he may have kept you from getting in an accident. He may have kept you safe by having that little old lady go 5 miles under the speed limit and stop because she thought something was coming into the road and you're ready to, but saved you. The paperwork you have to do, those dishes you need to wash, guys. Thank the Lord for those dishes you need to wash. I don't assume women are just going to be the only ones that wash dishes. So just, and here's one more thing. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. That's the New Living Translation. And that's the power of Thanksgiving. And we'll look at scriptures next week. I know it wasn't a lot of scriptures this week, but I wanted to let you know that there are real reasons to be thankful other than that the Bible says it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This came to my mind as we were sitting here, and thank you, Google, that you found it for me. One of my all-time favorite books that I've ever read is by a Christian author. Her name is Lori Wick, and the name of the book is called Sophie's Heart. I don't know if any of you guys have read that book, but it is absolutely wonderful. And the reason that I like it so much is because truly, truly God-given characteristics come out in this book, and she uses scripture. And so at this one part in the book, and let me just give you a precursor of what it's about. Sophie has come from Czechoslovakia, and she cannot speak English very well. And she is living in the big city, Chicago, and she does not like it. It's noisy, it's dirty, it's everything that her home was not. But she had put her name on the list, her name came up, and so she had to leave Czechoslovakia, but also leave her grandmother there. And her grandmother was the only family that she had. Both her parents had died. She was raised by her grandparents, then her grandfather died. So she was pretty much alone in the new world, you know, in the United States. Well, she got a job actually caring for a widower with his three children. And so it's talking about her life and what she's going through. Well, at one point, this one point that I'm going to be reading to you is the point where she is staying in an apartment that's above their garage, and the family of the three kids and dad are in the house. And she thinks that she's dreaming, and she hears this pounding, and she thinks it's her feet running with her friend. But come to find out, it's actually her boss pounding on her door at 2:30 in the morning. And the first thing when she finally is awake that she can think of is, I wonder which kid is sick, you know, because why would he come in the middle of the morning, early morning, like night, middle of the night? And so she grabs her robe and she runs, and he says to her when she opens the door, you have a phone call. It's from Czechoslovakia. And so she runs into the house, and she's picking up the phone, and it's her grandmother on the other end. And her grandmother is telling her how, you know, please forgive me. I should have told you 6 weeks ago, but my cancer is back for the third time. And Sophie's heart is breaking because she thinks that she's losing the only family that she has. So as her and her grandmother are talking, she's almost inconsolable. And so she goes back to her apartment, and boss says, turn off your alarm. Don't worry about it. Just, you know, get some rest. Well, then she starts having this one-on-one conversation with the Lord. And this conversation convicted me so much, because I am polar opposite of what you're getting ready to hear, okay? It says, do you trust me, Sophie? Yes, I do, Lord. Do you know that my way is perfect because I love you? Yes, Lord, I know this. Do you also know that I love your grandmother even more than you do? Yes, Lord, I must leave her with you. She's your child. Rest in me, Sophie. Rest in me for every hurt. I will never let you fall. And then she began crying, and her tears were making her a little bit sleepy, but then she fought through it when she was remembering the book of Job, and where Satan stood before God and said that Job would curse God if he would turn his hand and make his life bad. And this is what Sophie says. It is not true with Job, Lord, and I don't want it to be true with me. I don't want Satan to say to you, Father, that Sophie only praises you when her life is happy. So I thank you now that I had my babushka for so many years, and I praise your holy name for the things she taught me. Comfort her now. Move the doctor's hands. Thank you, Lord, that Eduardo is with her. Thank you for this cancer. Now that's a hard thank you. That is a hard thank you. Thank you for the things you have to teach me in the future. Please, if you're going to take her, do so swiftly, Lord. Don't let her suffer long. And as she began this prayer, now, I don't know about you guys, but I have never said thank you for any kind of disease, ever. I'm like, Lord, why'd you let this happen? Lord, what, you know, why'd you bring that? But this is the kind of attitude of gratitude God wants us to have. He wants us to be able to say to him, God, don't let it be that I'm not like Job. Don't let it be that I would curse you. If the time got tough, you're out of here, Lord. And a lot of times with our attitude, when hard things come, that's kind of how we feel. You weren't there, you didn't protect me, you're out. You know, strike two, three, however many. But that's not God's heart in this power of thanksgiving. That's not what he's trying to say. What he's trying to say is, almost like, and I almost take it like this, it's just so funny, it's you and me, Lord, against the world, kind of. Do you know what I mean? Like when bad things comes, it needs to be me and him, and then I need to say, God, I know that you're with me through this hard time. I know that there's something I have to learn. What is it? I know that, like, this year has been really hard for me because I have my mom staying with me, and my mom can be a negative person. I'm not so negative, but I notice that it makes me negative to be around her a lot. You know what I mean? She lives with us. I am around her a lot. But I don't want to be negative. I want to be positive. So thank you, Lord, that you brought my mom to our home. Thank you, Lord, that you let my husband say yes, that you brought my mom to my home. You know what I mean? Thank you, Lord, that something through this, something in this, you're trying to teach me something. What is it? Thank you, Lord, that you have me at this church. That's been a hard prayer to pray the last 2 years, hasn't it? Friends have come and gone. But God has a plan. And I believe his purposes are yes and amen in Christ Jesus for us. So our attitude, we need an attitude adjustment. I need an attitude adjustment. I need God to help me to be more thankful even in the hard, hard things. Because if you can praise God in the hard things, it's way easier to praise him in the easy things. Don't you think?
Amen. Yeah, that's good. That's really good. So what is the moral to this story? The moral to this story is to be thankful in all things. And it's God's will for you. It's because it's best for you. It's not just, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, you know, making it so that you're making God happy. God doesn't need us to be happy. He's fulfilled. He has no lack. There's nothing that he's missing. That's one thing we have to realize, that when we give him praise, even though it seems like we're worshiping him, it's doing something in us. It's creating an environment around us. When we're being thankful to him, it's doing things in us, in our bodies, that helps us. So let's do something where we actually engage, where we actually participate, maybe help you break some humps that maybe you've been dealing with. So let's stand. That's old hand. Yeah, that's kind of cool. So what I want you to do is I'm just going to go ahead and just say thank you, Lord, for something, and just repeat after me, just to get your voice working and practicing it, and just allow kind of a pattern to start. Thank you, Lord, for your love.
Thank you, Lord, for your love.
Thank you, Lord, for your grace.
Thank you, Lord, for your grace.
Thank you, Lord, for your peace.
Thank you, Lord, for your peace.
Thank you, Lord, for your truth.
Thank you, Lord, for your truth.
Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom in my life.
Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom in my life.
Thank you, Lord, for giving me your understanding.
Thank you, Lord, for giving me your understanding.
Thank you, Lord, for giving me your revelation of you.
Thank you, Lord, for giving me the revelation of you.
Thank you, Lord, for dying for me.
Thank you, Lord, for dying for me.
Thank you, Lord, for taking my place.
Thank you, Lord, for taking my place.
Thank you, Lord, for my family.
Thank you, Lord, for my family.
Thank you, Lord, for my job.
Thank you, Lord, for my job.
Thank you, Lord, for being the one that loves me.
Thank you, Lord, for being the one that loves me.
Thank you, Lord, for being for me.
Thank you, Lord, for being for me.
And not against me.
And not against me.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
It's just that simple.
Thank you, God.
Feels awkward sometimes to do it, like when you're by yourself, out loud. It's like, am I talking to myself? No, you're talking to Him. It's really easy to do it when you're driving in your car. Turn off the radio, start thanking Him. Start praising Him. It'll change the atmosphere. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your dark days to light days. But just practice it this week. Just say, okay, Thanksgiving's coming up. It'll remind me to be thankful. But try to make it so that it's not during a Thanksgiving season or a Christmas season. Make it a lifestyle. Because I bet you'll be better off, and those who know you will be better off. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you all. Love you. Have a great day.